It's a delve into the gray area. Gray Gunderson is with us. How are we doing, Gray?
Good morning. Good morning. Doing well. How's Joel?
I'm good. This is a rare moment where we don't have any guests, and I've been waiting for this, where the clock is not an issue, where we could delve into this pack of 1993 Kmart baseball cards with a stick of gum that, if you didn't hear earlier, this is what would have happened if we would have stuck the piece of gum from the 1993 pack of cards into our mouth.
Very few things hold greater nostalgia to me than baseball cards from my childhood. But while the cards are still good, is the gum? Let's find out. Taking me right back to 1988. Robbie Thompson's been holding it down for 34 years. Robbie, you've done a service to all of us. Bringing back memories. I am stoked. It's like somebody put their Dustbuster in reverse in my mouth. Fun fact, though.
There you go. Wow. That describes what it would have been like if this piece of gum that I reached for over here that you broke in half yesterday would have went into someone's mouth. It would have been like a Dustbuster in reverse.
The sound of the click it made when I broke it in half is archived on 98qcountry.com. Click on 98q podcasts. So something I've noticed about this pack of cards, Joel, I'm guessing this is not, I mean, it says collector's edition, but at the same time, I'm guessing this isn't a super desirable, like if you're hunting for cards, I doubt that one is in here. I say that because they didn't often give you a complete list of the contents of the box on the back of the box, right? That's right. Not a normal practice for cards in general,
right?
For sports
right.
cards. But on the back of this one, it's baseball superstars. So the front, 33 super gloss photo cards with bubble gum. We verified the bubble gum. It does look like there's 33 cards. On the back, a list of 33 players.
Yeah, and the value of this, $1.97 back in 1993. And it's very rare that the value of a pack of cards like that didn't really go up much. You could probably buy this pack online for a couple bucks if you wanted to. But it was opened yesterday for the first time ever, and now we will open it up and we will reveal some of the names. We're not going to get some of the, oh, who's that? I don't know who that is names. These are going to be some of the superstars from 32 years ago. First time a card has been touched by a human hand, and Greg Gunderson gets the privilege of doing it. Who you got?
Well, so this is just this is their advertisement for Topps Magazine. Of course, this is a Topps brand box of cards.
Oh, even though it's Kmart, it's a Topps brand
it
card.
Is. It's
okay.
Kmart Topps Collector's Edition. So they basically said, hey, let's make a low-dollar entry-level kind of card box, and we'll split the 50 cents profit on each box.
Yeah, I'm and sure. back in the day, and I don't think they do this as much anymore, but back then, Hostess, M&M's, I've got an endless list of companies that were given, or that they gave money to Major League Baseball and said, hey, we want to make some baseball cards. And they said, sure, for, you know, $500,000, go ahead. I remember going to the Hostess bread shop, which still exists, by the way, in some cities. They actually have Hostess stores, and looking at loaves of bread, Wonder Bread, and picking the loaf of bread that had the card in it that I wanted, because there was a card that was somewhat visible inside of the loaf of bread. So here we go. 1993, never opened pack of Kmart Topps cards.
I believe I have a correction, Joel. These cards, I just took a really quick leaf through and looked at the top right corner of some of these, because I noticed the first one says 1990 NL.
Okay.
I think these are actually a little older than we thought.
Okay.
These are 35-year-old baseball cards. The first one is Cardinals left-handed pitcher Joe McGrane.
Oh, Joe McGrane. He was part of that 91 team that, or 87 team that the Twins beat in the World Series. So decent pitcher, superstar. I don't even know if he's a Hall of Famer.
Had a mullet in 1990, according to this picture. I can tell you that much.
I think that breaking news. I think most of the people you're gonna look at may have had mullets.
Ooh, okay, all right. So you're looking at McGrane, pitcher for the Cardinals, bats right. He was 6'6", weighed in at 230.
Yeah.
Joe pitched a 6-hit, 6-0 shutout with 9 strikeouts at Chicago on June 10th of 1989. Hurled a 5-hit, 10-0 shutout versus the Expos June 14th of 1989.
Yes. They were a World Series team in 87, like I said. So, and I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but a good pitcher. A superstar, I guess.
His first big league shutout came in his third big league start, May 6th of 87.
He was inducted into the CCBL Hall of Fame,
which I think is the Cape Cod Baseball League.
Cape Cod Baseball League Hall of Fame. Didn't quite make the major league, but not too shabby.
Do the Yard Goats play in the CCBL?
The Hartford Yard Goats? I would hope so.
Oh, goodness. All right. Manager card here.
Oh.
I've got Tony La Russa and Roger Craig.
Oh, those are both Hall of Famers. Tony La Russa goes all the way back to the great days of the A's. And who's the other one?
Roger Craig,
Roger
Giants.
Craig with the San Francisco Giants. Yeah, a couple of coaching legends. Yes, sir.
Superstars. Roger Craig, another giant, 6'4", literally a giant.
All right.
Okay, so we go on to second baseman for the Rangers, Julio Franco.
Yeah, pretty good. I don't know. I don't think he went on to a Hall of Fame career, but a superstar at the time, yes.
92 RBI in 1989, led all big league second baseman, produced 56 multiple hit games last season.
He is eligible for the Hall of Fame and has not been inducted.
Ooh.
In 2013, he received 1.1% of the vote and was not included on the ballot.
We've got an outfielder for the Athletics, Ricky Henderson.
Definite first ballot Hall of Famer. Is it the late Ricky Henderson now? I think I want to say I just may have killed somebody who's not dead. Ricky Henderson, 2009, he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. His first year of eligibility, and I think I may have killed someone who's still alive.
Oh, wait. If you look at the bottom right there, Ricky Henderson, nicknamed Man of Steel, was an American professional baseball left fielder. The word was implies that it's not your fault.
Something is telling me that he passed away recently. He did, in December of this past year.
Wow.
Something in my brain went off on that. So
just a couple months ago.
He was a type of guy, he was that rare leadoff guy that would not only hit a home run, but if he got on first base, second base was just assumed he was going to be there. Great, the greatest base stealer of all time, or in the top two or three, and I think the best leadoff hitter to ever play in the game.
Five records, including 8 stolen bases in series and 4 alone in game 2.
Yep.
Wow. Yep.
Good stuff. Ricky was the man.
We've got a right-handed pitcher here, Doc Gooden.
Dwight Gooden. Had a little drug problem, but he was when he was in his prime, he was unhittable. He was through mid-upper 90s at the time, which was pretty good. He got inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 2006. But a controversial career with some legal problems that he had.
I don't know him as Doc. I know him as Dwight Gooden, and I say that because I am not, anybody can tell. It's really hard to tell, Joel. I think I'm blending in well, but I don't follow baseball yet. I'm trying to. But I've noticed Doc a lot because one of the websites I use when I'm researching this day in history talks about Dwight Gooden a lot, and specifically his dugout issues, arguments with managers and other players on his team.
Yeah.
Like, he was apparently not an easy guy to get along with.
When you Google a guy's name and the first thing that comes up, it says Dwight Gooden is sober and has been since 2019, that just insinuates there's been issues before that.
Yep.
He's got a podcast out now, too. He's invoked into his career, so still going, Doc Dwight Gooden.
Okay, so Doc counts as, I mean, aside from the managers, I recognize the name Roger Craig, but Dwight Gooden is the most recognizable name to me so far. I want to get in at least 2 more, though, because I accidentally just peeked ahead and found one that I really recognize from references from media, who I might have even seen a couple
times. This is pretty good, because this is what, 5 years before you were even on the planet, right?
Four years. I'm a 1994 kid.
Gotcha, okay.
So I've got Pedro Guerrero.
Yeah.
Designated and pinch hitter.
A great hitter.
And first base.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but one of those guys who had a short span where he was really, really dominant. He is a member of the National Baseball Hall of Fame. I'll stand corrected on that.
Huh?
For the Los Angeles Dodgers, a 5-time All-Star. He won the World Series in 1981. So obviously had a little longer career than what I remember. Pedro Guerrero.
Not even mentioned in this card from 9 years later.
Okay.
Here's the first name that I really, really recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Canseco.
Oh, yeah. It's hard not to know who he is, right? I mean, he is infamous for the most buffoon outfield move in the history of baseball in right field when he went back to catch a fly ball and it hit off the top of his head and the ball bounced over the fence and was a home run. He was not known for his defense. He had a good arm, was not known for his defense. Because allegedly him and Mark McGwire were so juiced back then that they could hardly move. Although he could run a little bit, but the power that he had, the Bash brothers, him and McGwire, was something else when they were in their prime. Just set aside whatever juice they were on. It was special to watch.
I also especially recognize him for references in the media. A lot of other people talking about Jose Canseco. He was very clearly topical at the time. The movie Liar Liar, Jim Carrey, where he spends a day, he can't tell a lie because of the wish that his son makes. Yep. That's at one point his kid wants to play catch in the yard. It's, you'll be Jose Canseco.
He outed Mark McGwire on steroids. He's still not in the Hall of Fame. And he wrote a book about all the steroid use in the game he admitted to using, and that's why he's not in the Hall of Fame right now. So we'll do a couple more here. We'll save them for another time, but we're enjoying opening, for the first time ever, a pack of Topps Kmart baseball cards from 1990, we determine now, that have never seen the light of day until this very moment.
Nice, glossy, high-quality looking, beautiful. They're still perfectly flat.
Oh, yes, wonderful.
I've got Ryan Sandberg.
All Cubs fans will know Ryan Sandberg. I don't even have to look it up, but I will. He's a Hall of Famer, Ryan Sandberg. He was inducted in the Baseball Hall of Fame in 2005. One of the greatest Cubs players of the modern day history. Once you go back to the old days of some of the guys, then you start to talk about other players. But yeah, just a solid long career. Ryan Sandberg, second baseman, 16 years.
Drafted by the Phillies in June of 78, acquired by trade in 82.
Yep.
And one season with the Phillies with an ugly batting average, but got her up there.
Won the NL MVP in 1984, 84 Rocks, good year. Being selected to the All-Star team 10 times. He was just a solid player.
I'd love to see how some of these little snippets age, because this one says, from 1990, including postseason play, Ryan has belted 21 home runs since he last committed an error at second base.
Yeah, not so much known for the bat as the glove. 10 Gold Glove awards, or nine Gold Glove awards. So there you go.
Cool. All right, here's another name I recognize, which means that probably anybody in the world would.
Okay.
Cal Ripken.
Cal Ripken, of course. Mr. The Iron Man, of course. Cal Ripken, the dad, Hall of Famer, Cal Ripken. No, Cal Ripken Jr. was the Iron Man, so Cal was the dad, so he was a little bit before him, just a legendary family of baseball studs.
Cal's 1,208th consecutive game in August of 89 gave him the third longest streak in baseball history.
Yeah, so that's Cal Ripken Jr.
This is the one born in 1960. It just says Cal Ripken, so if it is right. Jr., they left that off.
Was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 2007. So you're talking Iron Man. Is a 19-time All-Star and a 2-time AL MVP. Still holds a record for the most consecutive games played, I think it is.
How many?
We're not 8 million.
We've only gotten through like 7, 8.
All right, let's do two more.
Okay.
And then we'll give people a break for those of you who are like, what are these guys doing? And the rest will return to at another time.
Should I keep going in order, or should I just kind of reach through and grab a random
whatever
one?
You want to do.
I'm sort of tempted. Who's this? Chuck Finley, left-handed pitcher, looks like for the Angels.
Yeah, I think a short-lived superstar, definitely not one of the guys that you're talking about as one of the greats of all time. But I can say right now that he is not a Hall of Fame. But Chuck Finley has been inducted into the Los Angeles, into the Angels Hall of Fame and the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, but not quite enough of a baseball career. He was also eligible for the National Baseball Hall of Fame in 2008, but was not inducted.
According to this card, had something of a knack for avoiding homers from left-handed batters.
Yeah, had a short stint of being really, really good, and the rest of it was, you know, was all right. So,
and finally,
finally, finally,
last but not least, Jay Howell.
Jay,
right-handed relief pitcher for the Dodgers.
That might have. What year? See, I don't even.
Drafted in 76.
I'm surprised there's a name that I don't really recognize that much.
The Reds drafted him in 76. He was acquired by the Dodgers in trade in 87. He was born all the way back in 55, so he was one of the older players we've talked about, at least when these cards came out. Well, I suppose time is linear. Never mind. Pretend I didn't say that. He's one of the older players we've talked about.
He is a successful Major League Baseball relief pitcher. Relief is what he was known for.
And by far the shortest blurb here. Jay pitched scoreless inning in 1989 All-Star Game. They didn't even give him an article. They didn't even use the word the or a.
played for a lot of different teams. He was a member of the 1988 World Series champion LA Dodgers. So anytime you win a championship and you're a part of a team, that automatically escalates you, of course, a little bit. He ranks 79th on the Major League Baseball career saves list. Not good enough for the Hall of Fame.
79th, though, that's, I mean, so baseball good. Has been around in, you know, so many, well, a few forms. You got your dead ball and whatnot. I'm learning my history, folks. I'm trying.
Yeah, but the one thing that Major League Baseball has changed a lot that not many people talk about is the fact that the closer is so much different now. It used to be that every team had the closer. And you'll find this out in your first year of our Thistle Fantasy Baseball League, which is Gray is going to be a part of. So if you like baseball, there will be some baseball fodder coming.
Please teach me about baseball. I have no idea summer. What's going on.
But you learn that it used to be you would draft a closer when you're in a fantasy baseball league. And like so-and-so would be the closer, Devin Williams or whatever. Now many teams do it by committee. They don't have the guy who has 50 saves in a season. They will rotate them. I would say maybe 5 to 10 teams have a guy that he's the closer. He's the man. Nowadays, if someone can throw that hard because they only have to throw 5 or 6 innings now in Major League Baseball, you don't go 9. They'll just have them pitch. They'll just have them be a regular pitcher. In the old days, the old Goose Gossages and stuff would come out, and they would throw 100 miles an hour for 20 pitches, and then they'd have to go lay down for an hour because they were exhausted. So it's changed. The relieving role has changed a lot.
Figure out how to install a water cooling system on a human shoulder or something like that, something to make it more efficient.
It's not a motion that was meant to be made naturally, that overhand throw.
That's a good way to put it. It's not a natural motion at all. The human body was not designed to
throw a baseball
at 100 miles an hour.
Well, not designed to throw a baseball, yeah. All right, Gray. Well, thank you for putting up with me and my obsession with these cards. There's more to come.
No, this is a fun way. Like I said, I have not ever. I started to like baseball or football when I was in high school, and really took an interest in college. Fell in love with football. I know how football works. I want to feel the same about baseball, but it's overwhelming. There's a lot to learn.
The snapped in half piece of baseball gum still exists. It's still in the studio, so we're not ruling out the possibility that someone may, through a weak moment, may decide to toss it in their mouth and see what happens.
We should encase it in acrylic to prevent exactly that.
It's 9:30 on Reality Radio.